Around the World in 80 Days, geez, what took so long? It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for soccer hooligans. Skating on thin ice, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, yes, it is. Thank you, Drew McMillan. It is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert. And I'm happy to bring you another exciting episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Whether you're lazy or not, this is probably going to be beneficial if you have any interest in Medicare at all. If you're approaching that transition from Obamacare to Medicare, we're here to make you feel confident that we have the tools and the knowledge to make that transition a very smooth and comfortable one for you. And so we come to you three times a week to talk about Medicare-related subjects, some of them less entertaining than others, I'm sorry to say. Medicare is not by itself an exciting subject to chit-chat about. But on the other hand, I have help in making the entertainment quotient just a little bit higher than it might otherwise be. So I've heard other Medicare podcasts, and believe me, you've come to the right place if you'd like to stay awake through a short but pithy Medicare episode. You've come to the right podcast. Now, the first thing I'd like to do is to explain that this podcast and my whole reason for being is based on the book I wrote a few years ago called Medicare for the Lazy Man. The 2022 episode is edition is out, so it's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022, simplest and easiest guide ever. It's on sale at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. If you go to Amazon, you're going to find a hardcover edition. You're going to find a very reasonably priced paperback edition. You're going to find an Audible edition, and you're going to find a Kindle or ebook edition. It'll be your choice. And I think the least expensive of those is $3.80. So you can have all of my Medicare knowledge at your disposal for less than $4. So price is not going to deter anyone who's approaching Medicare from obtaining my opinions as to which Medicare coverages are going to be most cost effective and most comprehensive for you. So that's the Medicare for the Lazy Man book. You're attending the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and we have a radio spot. Until I get another radio station to put it on, I'm going to ask Randy to play that thing every chance I get. So I'm going to quiet down right now and see if he'll play that 30-second radio spot.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. That's a codification of the way that we expect you to bleed us of all of our Medicare knowledge. And you can do it in many different ways. So I'm glad you came here to join us today. Thank you so much. And let's ask Randy if he would like to participate in the proceedings. Randy, how are things going today?
I'm here. I'm doing well.
I see you're sitting in a Medicare for the Lazy Man Towers conference room.
Yes,
that's
very nice. As you notice, it's one of the lower ones. It's I think it's only about the second story. We have multiples in the tower, but you can see the tops of the trees out there. So I'm lower down today.
Yeah, I can see it. It looks very nice. It's summery there. It looks as though it's a lush and green outside the many, many windows.
Yes.
But yet the actual design of the room is kind of industrial, like postmodern yes. industrial or something. It's very, yes. very cool.
And the other problem with all those windows
uh-huh.
is that during the summertime, you could fry eggs on the floor. But other than that, it's great.
We cheaped out on the low E glass, huh? Oh boy. Yeah. You know, every time we start an episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, guess what happens? Somebody, some service type shows up, and it's either the landscapers with their leaf blowers, or in this case, it's a UPS guy with, it looks like a package that looks like it contains maybe a piece of paper. The nice thing is that I don't think they're ringing doorbells anymore. They used to ring the doorbell, which would be kind of an interruption to our podcast, but yep, he's had time. Oh, there he goes. He didn't ring the doorbell. Very good. Very good. So,
well, I didn't realize you were ordering things into the studio there, Doug.
We order all kinds of things around here. Sometimes it's tools, sometimes it's car parts, sometimes it's Medicare related products, and sometimes it's makeup and vitamins. Oh. And I never know what's going to happen. It's just that we get a visit or two every day.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because the next time I order something that I don't want Margaret to see,
yeah,
I'll send it to the studio.
Absolutely. And it'll show up during our podcast recording. I'm pretty sure that's when they all love to come by.
Yeah, exactly. And people will be banging on the door, or the landscapers will be. Now, isn't it the studio that has a landscaper that always wants you to wave at him out the window?
Well, he feels lonely and ignored if I don't do something. This guy waved at me so he could see through the glass. Many times of the day, the sun shines on the glass and you can't really see inside, at least from the street. My neighbors always are very proud of themselves because they wave at me when they're walking by, but they don't know whether I'm here and waving back or not. So
now do they do the traditional, you know, city guy wave, or do they do this one?
No, they don't do that. They do the arm over the head and the like the semaphore signal wave.
Well, you know what this one is, right?
Well, that's like, you're next, buddy.
Well, it's when you're driving.
Oh, okay.
And you're going down the road out by the ranch, and you pass a friend, and you go.
So that's Joe Cool.
Joe Cool's. That's a rancher wave there.
Just like riding a motorcycle, you pass another guy on a bike, you got a wave, so you wave down low. You know, you kind of wave at him next to your knee.
Yep. Yep.
You don't want to make a big deal.
Or a Jeep. You know, Jeep drivers do that too. They always wave at each other.
I had a Jeep for a long time, and I can't say that I remember doing that, but maybe it's just because it's been so long. That was almost 40 years ago that my Jeep turned into a pile of rust.
Well, you know, they haven't changed much, so you could go buy another one right now.
Well, I'm thinking I don't want a new one. I want to recapture the one I used to have, because you can put a Kevlar body on the thing. It'll never rust out.
Oh yeah.
And so I had this idea, and I bought one, pretty cheap, dragged it home, pulled the metal body off it that had rust holes in it and stuff. And that's an Arizona Jeep. And the frame was cracked. So,
So
I don't know. I'm thinking if I'm going to get an old CJ5 or CJ7, I may have to start from scratch.
I would like to have an old 7. I never did care for the 5s because they were so darn hard to get into with that, the way the fender came out.
Yep.
It was so darn hard to get into.
When you look at them, those like 70s and 80s 5s and 7s, the only way I can tell the difference is that on the 7, the doorway is completely, the bottom of the doorway is level. On the 5, it's like, you got a low spot for your feet, and then.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm old. I can't crawl into those 5s anymore. I mean, I'll do it. If somebody came up to the street here and said, "Hey, I got a brand new restored 5. Would you like it?" Yes, sir.
Well, me too. I'm horrified at the prices. I think I've told you in the audience what it was like when I made the decision. I'm going to buy a Jeep because I had my parents owned a big estate, and I lived in one of the houses on the estate, and there were miles of driveway that had to be plowed. And this is in Illinois where it snows all the time. And so I was doing that with a farm tractor, wearing a snowmobile suit and goggles, and it was just miserable.
And freezing your patoot off.
Absolutely. And so I decided I'm going to buy a Jeep so I can not only have some warmth, I can also listen to my favorite music, and the whole thing will be a lot more pleasant as I go out and plow the driveways and the parking areas and all that stuff. So We had 14 buildings, and man, that was a lot of plowing that had to be done. And so I called up the Jeep dealer, Lou's Jeep in Geneva, Illinois. And I said, I'd like to buy a Jeep. And they said, well, come on down. We've got one for you. And I said, well, I'd kind of like to know how much I'm getting into. And this is 1978. I had this conversation in the spring. And they said, well, do you want a CJ5 or a CJ7? I said, well, I'd like a C. Well, what's the difference? And they said, a couple $100s. And I said, seven's more expensive. Give me a CJ7. It's got the little tailgate and everything. And it's a little longer. And they said, okay, that sounds good. We'll put you down. That's $5,200 for a CJ7. And I said, oh boy, let me grab my checkbook. I'll be right down. And the guy said, oh, wait a minute. Let me ask you a couple of questions. And he said, what's your name? What's your address? And I told him, and I said, I can give you all this when I come down there to pick up my Jeep for $5,200. He said, okay, I got a few more questions for you. He said, in your new Jeep, your brand shiny new Jeep, would you like a seat? And I said, for what? You mean to sit on? And he said, yeah. He said, it's a little easier to drive the Jeep if you have a seat to sit on. And I said, sure. He said, okay, that's another, you know, $50. And I said, okay, how about a passenger seat? He said, oh, you want one of those too? Okay, there's another $50. And then he said, any opportunity or any chance you'd want a back seat of any kind? I said, okay, let's assume I do. And he said, well, there's another $75. And then he said, okay, do you want a radio and heater? And sure. Okay. Well, there's $30. And then he said, now let's talk about your creature comforts. Would you like a top? I said, yeah, it rains and snows here in Illinois. I kind of, you know, thought it might come with the top. Most vehicles do when you buy. Well, Jeep doesn't, you know, it offers you the opportunity to not have a top. If you, okay, how much for the top? Well, that's about $300. This went on for a half an hour and I was up to like $10,000 and I decided to buy a used one. So I kept watching the ads and watching the trading times. And I finally found a black 76. It was 2 years old. And I went and bought that thing for, I think, $4,000 instead of the $10,000 I was going to. And man, I drove that thing all over the place. And within 1 year, the floor started
fell out. Chilling.
Yeah, well, it didn't fall out. It kind of got pushed out because my feet on the carpeting pushed the rotted floor, you know, pushed a hole in the floor. So I got some kind of a parking sign. I forget what it said. Folded that in half, and at least so I wouldn't fall out of the car. And it just kept getting worse and worse. There was it rusted under the windshield all the way across the front of the car, in front of the under the windshield. And so if it rained, and I'm in my suit, you know, driving to the train station to ride the train downtown, I'd show up at the office completely soaked from the knees down. You know, and all the office clerks would laugh at me. I drove the Jeep again today, huh?
Oh my God, Doug. Why didn't you get why didn't you put some putty in that or something? Do something.
Yeah.
It's boy. That way it doesn't rain on you all the time. You know, it's just terrible.
I used to get home at night and I did love my Jeep. I got home, I'd take my wet suit off and hang it up, and then I would open a beer and I'd go out and in the garage and sit there and look at it. And I would just listen to the rust. It was audible how the rust was eating away my Jeep. So, you know, some less fortunate boy than I came along and decided to buy it from me. So at least it didn't, I didn't have to take it to a junkyard.
Oh, dear.
It would have broken my heart.
That's funny.
Hey, listen, well, I came up with something.
I suppose we better do some Medicare stuff today, huh?
I get so excited wandering down memory lane. I forgot to look at my clock. And, oh, boy, we have burned up some time today already. I came up with something that's like a group participation thing. Mary happened to mention this topic that she saw someplace. And so she printed it out and gave it to me. And it is entitled The Top 20 Medicare Questions. And I thought, my God, the top 20 Medicare questions, how much more useful could we ever be to people that are thinking about Medicare? And then I thought, well, we can make this a group project. And I printed up the questions, each of those questions, and you've got them right in front of you. And so what I thought you could do is maybe I can read the question And you can tell me what you think the answer is, and then I can read the answer from my printout that you don't have. That's got a little more.
Oh, so you've got the key. You've got the answer key.
Where do you think I learned it from, Grasshopper? I learned it from you.
Oh, Grasshopper.
Yeah, you have bested me in the Stump the Insurance Man once too often. So
now we're gonna play Stump the IT Dude.
Stump the Software Engineer. Let's do that.
Yeah. All right, good. I like these kind of games.
Alrighty. I don't think we're going to get through more than half of these, so we're probably going to make this a two-episode arc, a story arc. Okay, so question number one of 20. How can I get a replacement Medicare card? That's a pretty exciting question. So that is.
And I've wondered that myself quite a bit, Doug. Where do I get a replacement Medicare card? I think you can just do it online, right?
You can do it online. There's good news and bad news. You can do it online, so you don't have to go to the Social Security office. The bad news is, I think it takes them a month to get you a card. They don't do anything fast. Oh, it's incredible. We had an episode just a short time ago where a husband related the steps and the length of time it took to get his wife covered for Medicare Parts A and B. And it took 3 months. He started in March. And she finally got confirmation of her coverage in June. So getting a replacement card, you'd think would be instantaneous. You'd think you could print it. Wouldn't you think? You go online.
Well, you know what I would do in today's world, Doug?
What's that?
You know, I've got an iPhone, and the iPhones have an ability to store in an encrypted format various of your credentials on your phone, like your Arizona driver's license and your Cave Creek drinking card and all that kind of stuff. Does Medicare are they so far behind the power curve on technology that you couldn't store your Medicare card in your phone?
You could take a picture of it. That would be the way to store it in your phone. Here's what I do for all my cards. When I go to the doctor, and I go to the doctor all summer long. I go to Illinois and I go to all these damn doctors. And what I do is I, on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, I photocopied the fronts and backs of my Medicare Part A and B, my Medicare card that we're talking about now. Plus I have Medicare supplement. So I photocopied on that same 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, the front and back of that Medicare supplement card. I've got a drug plan. So I photocopied the front and back of that drug plan card. Plus, they're always asking me for a photo ID. So I put my Arizona driver's license on that. And then I put my business card, Medicare for the Lazy Man, right next to it. So basically, I've got an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that I just hand to these clerks. They expect me to dig around in my wallet and pull all these cards out and give them all the cards, and then they stick them in a machine to scan them. I just hand them a piece of paper, and they say, oh, hey, you're excellent. This is great. And then they say, hold on, I'll give it back to you. And I say, nope, but I will autograph it if you want to give me $10. Now, nobody's taken me up on that yet, but so it really saves a lot. I bet
that throws them for a loop.
Yeah, but if I go to a doctor's office, I just hand them a piece of paper. I don't have to dig all those cards out. Don't have to worry about losing the cards. I don't have to carry them around with me. And that works for me. So that's the only way I can think of that you can store your Medicare ID card. Nobody's going to want to look at it. If instead of handing it, you can hand the phone to them and say, here, look at my card all you want. And they can maybe print it. But if you take it there on a piece of paper and hand it to them, then anyway, so it says here, if you lose your card, you can obtain a replacement card by telephone. You can call 800-772-1213, or you can go online at the Social Security Administration website, which is ssa.gov. Make sure you have your Medicare number ready when you call. You should receive your new card in about 4 weeks. 4 weeks to print a little piece of cardboard. Next question, Randy, here we go. You ready for this? How can I find out if I have Medicare coverage? Well,
yeah, there's a part of this question that doesn't make sense to me, but
shouldn't you remember that you have Medicare coverage?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you signed up for it, wouldn't you think you had some?
If you called Uncle Dougie to help you with that kind of stuff, you'd remember that you and I did a lot of work together, signed forms and everything, and got all that stuff done. Well, in this case, you may have a kind of a short-term memory problem. And so the answer to this question is not get a, you know, take a memory pill, but it is, you must call that same number for the lost card. You must call the Social Security Administration at 800-772-1213. Or contact your local Social Security office to verify that you have Medicare Part A and Part B coverage. Ah, here's an interesting thing. This information can also be found on your red, white, and blue Medicare card that you lost last time. You're waiting.
That you lost in the previous step.
Yeah, exactly right. Whoa, we have really burned up the time today, haven't we?
I'm going to allot some more.
All right. Thank you.
Buy us another couple of minutes, you know, 10, 15 minutes here, maybe an hour. So folks, settle in.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. I'm going to mark halfway. All right. So next question is, I can't afford my Medicare premiums. What can I do? All right.
Let me answer this one, Doug.
Please do.
Please. I got it.
Randy, let me call on Randy.
Okay. Teacher, I've got it. Okay, Part A, there are no premiums.
Good. That's good. You're halfway home.
And Part B, there are premiums. If you can't afford them, I don't know the answer to the second part. What can I do?
If your income is limited, your state may help pay for your Medicare costs, such as your premiums and your deductibles. So Part A has no premiums, but it's got a deductible. If you're in the hospital longer than 60 days, it also has coinsurance. Part B, which is all of your outpatient, doctor's visits and testing and all that stuff, that has a monthly premium this year of $170. So if you can't afford that, then the state may help you pay for that in addition to your deductibles and cost sharing expenses. So it says, check the important phone numbers page at this website, whatever website we got these questions off of, for the phone number of your state medical assistance program. They can help you determine if you're qualified. If you have Medicare Part A, your income is limited and your financial resources, such as bank accounts, stocks, and bonds, are not more than $4,000 for an individual or $6,000 for a couple, you may qualify for assistance as a qualified Medicare beneficiary or as a specified low-income Medicare beneficiary. The Qualified Medicare Beneficiary Program, also known as QMB, pays the Medicare monthly Part B premium, deductibles, and coinsurance. The specified low-income Medicare beneficiary program, also known as SLMB, helps pay for the Medicare monthly Part B premium for qualified Medicare beneficiaries. Whew, boy, there's a mouthful.
That was a mouthful and a half.
It was, but all those poor people are writing down that information.
See, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
So if you cannot afford your Medicare premiums and you look for other sources to help you with that, now are you saying that you're moving on into Medicaid or no?
Well, every state is different. So while this answer says call your state medical assistance program, you may find out that you're talking to Medicaid. If you look up Medicaid in your state, sometimes it's the Medicaid program that is also empowered to help you low-income types. And so you might wind up talking to Medicaid. It's different in every state. That's why I haven't committed any of this stuff to memory. It's all based on what state you're in. But Medicaid's a good place to start. You call those guys up, they should know how to guide you into the part of the government, your state government that will help you with the Medicare costs. So might be Medicaid, might not. That was an excellent additional question, Randy.
Much I've learned hanging around you for 3 years?
Well, you've learned to ask me a question that keeps me occupied for a while. So you can, you can take a drink and whatever else you do over there on the other side of the screen. Okay. Next question. Will I automatically be enrolled in Medicare when I turn 65? This is a good one for you. This is a stump the software engineer question, I think.
You will not be.
there's a caveat there. There's a maybe you will, maybe you won't.
Okay, well, maybe you will and maybe you won't.
Good answer. Good answer. You will be automatically enrolled in Medicare Parts A and B if you're already taking Social Security. So if they're sending you a Social Security payment every month and you turn 65, bang, you're going to get your Medicare ID card in the mail pronto. But if you have delayed Social Security, then you won't get squat until you call up the Social Security Administration and say, hey, I just turned 65. I want to enroll in Medicare. And then they'll say, well, do you want to take Social Security or not? They call it retirement. Are you planning to retire or not? Do you want retirement benefits? And you might say no, because I want to wait for a few more years so I can get even more government money from you. So in that case, you're talking to the Social Security Administration and you say, I'm 65, sign me up for Medicare. And that's how it gets done. Actually, you can do it easily online by going to ssa.gov or medicare.gov.
So if I decided, Doug, that I wanted to continue working until 72, let's say, I guess that's the top of the mountain now for Social Security benefits, right?
No, my understanding is 70 is the top of the mountain. After 70, okay, they don't increase them anymore.
Okay, well, let's say 70. Let's say, okay, I'm going to continue working until I'm 70. So I don't have to take Medicare A or B until I decide to, right?
Here's the thing that's best for you. If you work for a company that provides you a group insurance plan, and if there are 20 people or more on that group insurance plan, you don't have to do squat for Medicare until you decide to leave that company or leave that plan. So if you want to, you can just stay on the company plan. Now, you might have a company plan that really sucks. It might cost you a ton of money out of your pocket, your contribution to the employer's cost of that plan, or it might have a big giant deductible, whereas Medicare has pretty good coverage at a very reasonable cost. So it might be that you're working for a big company with a benefit plan that isn't that good. When you turn 65, it may be to your advantage to disenroll from the company plan and get Medicare instead. But you don't have to. If you work for a company that has 20 or more people on the plan, you can just continue on until the day you decide to retire or leave that company plan, and then you can get Medicare. So that's, you can go either way. The cards are all on your side of the table.
Cool.
If you work for a small company with just a few people on it, then it, you got to get Medicare A and B, because that small company plan is going to supplement Medicare. But the large company plan, you have in place of Medicare. And the cutoff is 20 employees. So, oh boy, we're,
what is that, 20 working employees or just 20 people on the plan?
Actually, it's 20 mouth breathers that are burning up the oxygen.
I think people that are actually doing something.
I think it's the employer has to fill in a quarterly payroll tax report, and they have to tell the government how many full timers they've got on the payroll. And I think that's how it's determined. Basically, the employer determines it. So when you ask the HR people, they'll tell you whether or not you, you're working for a small company or a larger company. So we gotta keep moving here. Let's see. Does Medicare pay for dental services?
No.
You know, I didn't even read the answer. Will I be automatically enrolled in Medicare? We just jaw-jacked about it. Let me read the answer. If you're receiving Social Security or railroad retirement or disability benefits, you will be automatically enrolled in Medicare Part A and Part B when you turn 65. About 3 months prior to your 65th birthday or after your 24th month of disability, you will be sent an initial enrollment package that will contain information about Medicare, a questionnaire, and your red, white, and blue Medicare card. If you want both Medicare Part A, hospital insurance, Medicare Part B, medical insurance, I don't know why they picked that name, you should sign your Medicare card and keep it in your wallet. Don't keep it in your dresser drawer. Don't keep it in your car, your glove box. Keep it in your wallet. If you don't want Part B coverage, which you know, has a monthly premium, you must put an X in the refusal box on the back of the Medicare card form, sign the form, and return it with the card to Social Security at the address shown. You will then be sent a new Medicare card showing that you only have Part A. So that was the answer to the prior question. And then the next question that Randy so vociferously answered was, does Medicare pay for dental services? What's that answer again, Randy?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Medicare does not cover routine dental care or most dental procedures such as cleanings, fillings, tooth extraction, or dentures. There are rare cases in which Medicare Part B will pay for certain dental services. In addition, there are some situations in which Medicare Part A will pay for certain dental services delivered on an outpatient basis. You should contact your local carrier. I don't know who that would be. Your local carrier for more information. Check the important phone numbers. It's all capitalized. Important phone numbers on this website for the phone number. Basically, the way that works is if you've had a disease that wrecked your teeth, or if you've had an accident that knocked out a bunch of your teeth, that's when you could get your dental services paid for by Medicare. But if you're just going along, oh, I got a cavity, I better go to the dentist, they're not going to pay for that. That's considered routine.
Good to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like you had a question there, but then I guess you thought better of it, huh? Okay.
Well, it slipped right through my mind.
Who submits my bills to Medicare? How much do I have to pay? If you are in original Medicare, I'm just rushing through this a little bit because I don't want to burn up all of our time. Your doctor or other healthcare provider will fill out your claim with Medicare. You'll receive a statement showing how much you'll need to pay. If you do not receive a Medicare statement, which is a Medicare summary notice or explanation of Medicare benefits, you'll need to contact your local carrier to have them send you a copy. There's that word again, your local carrier. I don't know who that's going to be.
What in this particular case, who would be a carrier?
I don't know, but the Medicare hires insurance companies to process their claims. And so that's probably what they mean. Like, for instance, when we were in Illinois, my bills came, actually, the Medicare EOB statements came, that's explanation of benefits, came from Mutual of Omaha. And they were basically saying, okay, here's what your doctor wanted to bill. You went to the doctor just for a checkup. You had a charge of $10 million. That's what the doctor was hoping to get from your appointment. And Medicare has cut it back to $10. And so, and you, that's a Part B expense because you're not inpatient in a hospital. So Medicare will pay 80% of that $10 charge, and you will pay 20%. So that's the way that works. But I guess the carrier they're talking about here is the company that Medicare hired to handle your billing. So this answer implies that you really want to pay your bill. And so you're going to call and find out why they haven't sent you a bill yet. I'm not going to be that proactive. I go to the doctor. I know that someday I'm going to get a bill in the mail from Medicare or from the doctor saying, hey, Medicare paid 80%. You pay me 20%. Until that bill comes, I'm going to sit back and twiddle my thumbs and not really be that proactive about it. So then the next question, I don't know. They put all these questions in a fishbowl and shook them all up. They could have been in a better order. The next question, Randy, what is Medicare?
Well, I know that.
Well, I would hope so. We've gotten this far through the process. Why don't you give us...
Medicare is a governmental program. Administered by the Social Security Administration.
Right, that's correct.
And it is made up of two parts.
Well, okay, yep.
Actually, two parts. Part A, mm-hmm. which is your hospitalization insurance, and uh-huh. Part B, which is your outpatient. And I was going to say Part C, but I don't want to talk about Part C.
No, let's not talk about that. I think you've constructed a perfect answer. Part A of regular Medicare is for inpatient treatment. Part B is for outpatient treatment, doctor's visits and testing and that kind of stuff. Okay, next question. Who do I contact to change my name and address for Medicare purposes? Wow. And that answer is really long. Holy crap. You have any ideas there, Randy?
Well, I was going to say Medicare.
Yeah, that's good. Medicare.gov or Social Security Administration, which is SSA.gov. The Social Security Administration is involved in all this stuff because Congress, when they created Medicare back in the 1960s, assigned it to Social Security for administration. So that's how they happen to have their fingers in all this stuff. So the Social Security Administration will notify Medicare of the change when they change their records. Their phone number can be found in the important phone numbers page of this website. I don't know where the heck that would be. If you are in original Medicare, which most of the audience in this podcast would be, that's Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. If you're in original Medicare, you should also notify the Part B carrier. I don't know what the heck they're talking about here. The carrier processes your claims for doctor's bills and other medical expenses. I would say that if you have notified Medicare, then let them notify the carrier. I wouldn't complicate things or volunteer for more work than you need to. Check the important phone number section of this website. Wow. Next time Mary prints something up for me, remind me to ask her if she actually printed all the pages involved. They keep referring to the important phone numbers. I would say go online, medicare.gov, and you're going to find the answers that you need. So why don't we wrap it up here, and let's start earlier next episode, and maybe we can plow through the rest of the questions and somehow make it entertaining. What do you think, Randy?
I am all for starting earlier. The only thing that I'm a little concerned about, Doug, is making it entertaining.
You got a point there. God,
Medicare, well, there's really no way to make Medicare entertaining. Although when we started years ago on this podcast, there was some particular covered. You had a list of things that might be covered in a certain circumstance. And one was like dancing lessons or something.
You know something? Okay, you're dancing pretty close to the subject matter. One of the reasons that we can get away with doing that is that a lot of the people that used to listen to us back then have dealt with Medicare. They have no reason to listen unless they just like to hear us goof around. So I think you've got a good point there. Let me do a little more research on other topics that we can revisit that might be more entertaining, but we're going to have to wrap this up next time. We cannot.
Oh yeah. You got that. I mean, absolutely. We have, not only have we overstayed our clock, now we are into the overtime clock, and that really costs that. Instead of by the minute, this is by the second for studio time. So, you know, we're in tough shape now. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, because you could have been doing many, many other things, but you weren't. You stayed tight and you listened to us, which we always appreciate, because without you, it's just no fun at all. You have just spent, though, about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, now residing up in the high altitudes of the mountains behind Cave Creek, Arizona. Doug Jones.
Bye-bye, everyone.